It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Last month, a Chinese startup stunned the world by releasing an advanced artificial intelligence model. It was created at much lower costs than other models. DeepSeek also made its software open source, letting anyone download the software to fine-tune it.
DeepSeek shook up the artificial intelligence world and the stock market. It's just part of a flood of developments in the field.
AI research and education is going on here in Wisconsin. We reached out to two experts for their take and for a look at the work they're doing with their students.
Kangwook Lee is an assistant professor in electrical and computer engineering at UW-Madison. Kangwook, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for inviting me.
Let's start out by talking about a kind of artificial intelligence that I think most people might have interacted with, the chat bot, that where you enter a question or prompt and it gives you an output, some kind of text, things like that. People watching the news may have seen this information about DeepSeek, this Chinese program. It really rocked the world, the artificial intelligence world and the stock market. What is unique or what was important about DeepSeek?
OpenAI, as their ChatGPT and their other models, they have been the most popular models out there around the world, and especially like the new model that they recently released, O1, O3, those are called reasoning models that are kind of advanced version of the traditional ChatGPT models. And there has been no other competing reasoning models in the market. And we were expecting to see some other competing reasoning models to come out sometime soon, but we didn't expect it to come from China. I would say that was the most important reason why people were surprised.
Now, people listening, some of them may have used some kind of chat program, maybe to generate an outline for a work document or a school document or something like that. For people who haven't gotten there yet, what do you see happening in the next few years where this might become more and more commonly used? What are the uses that people who don't care about AI right now might be seeing in the next few years?
I'm a heavy AI user. It's been like a few years like this, but it's getting more and more common in my daily lives. For instance, I find the current models out there, both ChatGPT models and also DeepSeek models, they're good enough to write a decent quality report. So whenever I want to learn something new, I ask the model to, hey, write a report on this. I want to learn about it. Then all these models out there, the frontier models, are good enough to write a very decent model report on whatever I request. And it comes with this good report in a few minutes. So that's something that I usually takes about a week if I ask my students, if I ask someone to do for me. So it saves a lot of time for me. And I think this is something that everyone can start using it right now.
People worry they may have seen in the news examples of reports like that getting things wrong. How much should we worry that that report we generated that we're learning from is giving us legit material?
It still is a problem. It's not fully solved, but the amount of fake information, made up information, which we call hallucination, is decreasing fast. So that's one thing. So I think in a few years, we'll have a much better solution that makes those kind of made up information with much less frequency. And also the newer models, they all have references coming up with these claims. So each claim is accompanied with a link. So you can click the link and see whether that information or the statement given in the report is correct or not. So eventually the final judgment and takeaway should be made by the human readers. So I guess as long as you spend some time to verify what is written in the report, that should be not a big problem.
And Kangwook, one of the reasons that we wanted to talk to you, it caught our eye, you developed and teach a class on the ethics of how we collect the information that goes into artificial intelligence. What kind of questions are you exploring with your students?
I mostly consider three issues in my class. I want the models, AI models, to be unbiased, in a sense that it does not replicate the bias and stereotypes we all used to have in the past. We still have some of them in the real world. But if we just literally feed all the internet data and let the model see all of them without any filtering or whatsoever, the AI model will start replicating the same bias and stereotypes. So that's one thing I care about, having the model that's behaving differently from what we used to do, but we want the model to be more unbiased, more fair, and so forth. The other thing is I want the models to respect the privacy of the data. So the model might have seen a lot of private information, sensitive information on the training data set. And technically speaking, the models can memorize all the information from training. And at test time, at generation time, the chat might be able to reveal some of the private information that they have seen, but they are not supposed to talk about. So making sure that the models do not memorize everything private in the training data set, that is also important. That's the privacy issue. The last one is about robustness / safety. We want these models to perform something good for us, but we don't want these models to perform something bad. But there are many ways to get around the safety layers we have, and these models are still vulnerable to attacks where people with bad intentions may choose to use these AI models to do something bad. Let's say use these AI models to create chemical weapons or something like that. That's not what we want to see anytime soon.
Now, you are working with the future engineers here in your classes at UW-Madison. How important is an understanding of AI technology for those jobs your students might be looking at in the future?
Well, I think it will be probably more impactful than what the internet and computer did several decades ago in terms of how it will change the society and the world we are living in.
More impactful than the internet, you're saying. The internet's been pretty impactful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. But the internet was more about connecting stuff. It didn't make something completely new from scratch, I wouldn't say so. But this one is basically replacing the cognitive functions of what humans were only able to do in the past. So I'm expecting more impact than the internet.
Kang-wook, thank you so much for sharing your work with us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Kang-wook Lee is an assistant professor in electrical and computer engineering at UW-Madison. Now let's bring in Rahul Gomes, associate professor of computer science at UW-Eau Claire. He is working with AI and healthcare with his students. Rahul, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Yep, nice to be here.
I want to dive right into the work you are doing with your students at UW-Eau Claire using artificial intelligence to work with healthcare professionals at the Mayo Clinic. Talk a little bit about what you've been working on.
Our collaboration with Mayo Clinic at this point has a bunch of projects, but one of them is trying to look at patient data. Take an example of colonoscopy. So colonoscopy generates a lot of reports. And then, you know, patients might get multiple versions of these reports. So one of the clinicians came up and says, hey, is there a way we can go through these reports and create a much more simpler model and also create a summary of the report? Now, what that summary will do is, you know, it's going to tell, okay, did the person have any polyps? And if so, when should we schedule, you know, the next meeting? So this would also make it easier for patients, you know, when they're looking at their health chart, they can see that health chart and find out, oh, this is really important, rather than going through the entire report. And it also helps clinicians because, you know, clinicians spend a lot of time going through these reports. And if you're trying to look at four or five reports down the line, it also makes things a lot more, you know, slow. So, you know, our students came up and took the responsibility of creating this LLM, a large language model, with the clinicians. So I'm mentoring the students on how to do the computer science aspect of it. The clinicians are mentoring the students as to what these reports should look like and be compatible. It's exciting because you see the students who are just hearing about large language models, but then now they are implementing something. And some students were very excited because when they are creating these models, they get the feeling that that this has real, this has practical implications, right? So health implications where patients' diagnosis might be faster, where patients will benefit, rural healthcare will benefit. So they were pretty excited to dive right in. So that's one of the examples, but we have several of these, you know, AI and machine learning collaborations that we are doing with Mayo Clinic to advance patient healthcare.
When you're saying you and your students are developing models, are they doing a subset of that, taking lots and lots of colonoscopy reports, for example, and turning that into its own sort of chatbot in effect?
With healthcare data, we want to make sure that we are protecting the privacy of everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So that's important. And then also with large language models that are out there, which people mostly hear, they are very generic models. Like they are designed to do day-to-day stuff, right? But we wanted to make sure that our models are reliable. They are safe. They are reliable. One of the primary ethics of, you know, AI. So that is why, you know, they are not only building the model to make it safe and reliable, they are also trying to, you know, reduce the model, make it much more reasonable. And we call that term in computer science as knowledge distillation, where instead of using a giant model, okay, we have a smaller problem, let's make it expert in this smaller problem. So they are learning how to, you know, use or interact with a model, and then also take that model and make it much more smaller so that I can manage it and students can manage it. And even it will be easier for the clinicians to manage the models. So that's one of our goals here.
And Rahul, people might think, wait a minute, is a large language model going to be my doctor now? If I'm hearing you correctly, clinicians are still involved in this. The large language model might give summaries of the data, but they can look into it and they can dig into that original stuff if they wanted to still.
Absolutely. I mean, the goal right here is that let's have that deeper insight, but at the same point of time, let's also have a summary, right? It's not replacing. We can never replace doctors. I mean, even if we think years down the line, I mean, healthcare is really, there's no room for error, right? So we are really concerned about patients, but there are ways we can make them more effective, make diagnosis more effective. So it's kind of like there are tools in computer science, you know, or any kind of think of calculators, for example. We still do math, but it helps us in a way to, I mean, they don't replace math. We still do math ourselves, right? So using that analogy is kind of like makes sense. We want to give more information, I mean, to patients as well as to the clinicians, but it's their call, right? It's more, a summary is more than what actually is happening for the patient, right? So there are lots of things happening. So they will actually go through all the reports, but we also want to have this convenience out there.
You've started to touch on this a little, Rahul. Why is it so important to you to have your students there at UW-Eau Claire really involved hands-on in a project like this?
It's really important that we not only give our students the theory behind it, but the students also realize, okay, today I took a class called CS426, Deep Learning, but how am I going to use it? Because that is a very basic question that everybody has. When they, you know, get their hands into these models and see how they kind of, you know, make a difference in the real world, it also motivates them that, okay, I learned how to use convolutional neural networks as a type of an AI model. This is how it's applied in the real world. This is how I can make a difference. So that kind of, you know, is really helpful for the students.
We're talking to Rahul Gomes at UW-Eau Claire, Associate Professor of Computer Science, about artificial intelligence, how he is working with students to apply it in healthcare settings and elsewhere. Part of why we called a couple of Wisconsin AI experts now was the news of the release of this DeepSeek program by a Chinese company. Now, it's in that other category we've been talking about, those more general AI programs. The notion is, hey, it's doing a lot of these things quicker and cheaper. What do you think? What are your thoughts on this DeepSeek program that, at least for a day, blew up the stock market here in the United States?
Again, going back a little bit to the history, is that around 2010, for example, we became pretty good at classifying images. So if I give you an image, give a machine learning model an image of a dog, then it will be able to detect, oh, that's a dog, right? So images became pretty good, but we were still struggling with text because we couldn't parallelize the process of text. So is it going to rain today in Eau Claire, or is it going to rain today at Madison, right? So in order to predict the next word, we had to know the previous word. So it was a sequence of steps. But around 2017, Transformers came out, and Transformers showed us that you could parallelize this process. And the moment we realized we could parallelize this process, whoa, so we can use lots and lots of GPU. One of the optimizations DeepSeek came up with is how it trains. So it does use things like mixture of experts, knowledge distillation, mathematical computations, and chain of thought. But those are like big terms in a. But the basic idea is that it figured out how we can speed up the process, speed up the algorithmic thinking process. It also figured out how we can reduce the amount of training data that is required to get a response. It used things like reinforcement learning to do these. So it kind of accelerated the process of algorithmic optimization. I mean, these are different stages of evolution of any kind of computational algorithms, right? First we create it works, that's good. Now, okay, can we make it better? So this is where we think, at least I think, that AI will try to become better in terms of optimization.
As we wrap up, Rahul, what are you watching for next? What potential next application has you the most interested?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, there's a huge implication here. We want to make sure that we make AI which is reliable. We want to make sure that we make an AI which is safe. We want to make sure that the AI can be is explainable. I mean, we know that it's a. I mean, most of us have this kind of idea that AI is in black. I mean, large language models, any chatbots, they are black box, right? We can't see what's happening there. So the research now is how do we make this more explainable, right? So we want to be a part of to understand how this model is making predictions. So that kind of excites me. That is one factor that I'm really interested to dig deeper. But the implications are huge. I mean, we can go with optimizing these models, or we can use these models in our daily life. We can run them locally now with variants of DeepSeek, and then also Meta has Llama models that you can also run locally in your system. So there's a lot of implications that you can use AI to make your life more convenient, but do it with safely and reliably. That would be my, suggestion.
We'll leave it there, Rahul. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Rahul Gomes is an associate professor of computer science at UW-Eau Claire. He joined us for a look at AI projects he's working on with his students. Earlier, we heard from Kangwook Lee, assistant professor in electrical and computer engineering at UW-Madison. Do you use some form of artificial intelligence program, chatbot or otherwise, in your work, in your education? What do you do with it? What's the experience been like? Do you still have a lot of open questions about what it's doing and how it works? Tell us about it. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, New Glarus hosts the World Euchre Championship this spring. Check out the event and the local love for the card game.
It is a game that's really widely played here. So you could go to any of the local establishments and you could definitely find people who would be willing to sit down and help you learn the game.
It's Euchre, coming up next on WPR News.